Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Uniquely Designed Talk Radio with your host, certified life coach, international speaker, and author, Nayshawn Turner. Uniquely Designed Talk is all about encouraging, motivating, inspiring, and empowering you to redesign your life to achieve your personal and professional goals and dreams. So get ready to experience your moment of transformation as you listen to Nayshawn and her guest on Uniquely Designed Talk.
Welcome to Uniquely Designed Talk, the total empowered woman radio show. Hi, I'm your host, Nayshawn Turner, founder and CEO of Uniquely Designed Coaching and the creator of the Total Empowered Woman Experience. But look, before we get started, I just want to let you guys know how you can connect with us on my website. Just go to www.nayshawnturner.com or, of course, you can go to uniquelydesigncoaching.com, get you to the same place. You can also connect with us on Facebook by just typing in Nayshawn Turner-Uniquely Designed Coaching, or you can also hit us up on Twitter. Just use the @Nayshawn_and_then_Turner. Listen, I want everybody to call their friends, to text somebody, to Facebook somebody, tell them, look, Nayshawn is on the air, and she has a special guest here today, and we're so excited. All you have to do is just log on to Blog Talk Radio, type in Uniquely Designed Talk, and then just click the link button, and guess what? You're on the air with us live. So, hey, you know what? I'm excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about having a special love for caring for a special needs child with my guest, Donna Anders. Look, we all have challenges, but when that challenge involves your child, especially a child with a special needs, it takes a special kind of person and a special kind of love to really be the kind of caregiver to best serve your child's needs. So whether you have a child that's born with a disability or the disability occurred from some sort of accident, it's all about what to do and having the right resources available that will help it be a lot easier in giving your child exactly what he or she needs, as well as being able to take care of yourself in the midst of everything. Well, you know what? On today's show, it's about being a caregiver for your child. And we have Donna Anders, who is our special needs parent advocate. She's also a consultant, and she knows firsthand what it takes to actually be on the front line making sure that you and your child are heard and taken care of. But before I bring her on the air, I want to make sure that I tell you guys a little bit about her. Donna Anders is a wife and a mother of three boys, one with autism. And understanding the challenges that families face firsthand, Donna has a breadth of advocacy experience. She has testified before North Carolina State Legislature on behalf of autism insurance reform. She met with lawmakers on Capitol Hill regarding the unique challenges and needs of military families with developmental disabilities. She's advocated for the safety of students against the misuse of restraints in school, attended numerous IEP meetings, and helped families navigate the complexities of the healthcare system. Through these experiences, Donna has gained the respect and appreciation of families she served and was a senior military leadership for the family advocacy efforts for families in the military. Currently, Donna works as a consultant for a nationwide applied behavioral analysis company, as well as assisting parents nationwide as a parent advocacy. So listen, I am so excited to bring Donna on the show today. Welcome, Donna, to Uniquely Designed Talk. We're so glad to have you on the show today.
Hello, Nayshawn. Thank you for having me. Great to be a part of what you're doing. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Also, I just want to let everybody know Donna is a great friend of mine, and so I'm just so excited that she's here. Our time is so short, and I tell you, the conversation gets so good, but I really want today's topic is so important and so near and dear to my heart. And I really wanted to talk to you about so many things. So we're just going to jump right in. You know, I know that you've been an advocate for parents with special needs for some time now, but many people don't know your story. Can you just share with us a little bit about you and how you started on this journey?
Sure. Yes, as you mentioned earlier, I'm the mother, wife and the mother of three boys. My youngest has autism. So I actually was diagnosed with moderate to severe, severely autistic. So it's been, you know, over the years, you just you have to figure out what you need to do to meet the needs of your family. And for my son, it was, you know, a constant, for my special needs son, that kind of just took over as my full-time job, you know, making sure that the right supports were in place for his in-school setting, you know, that he was receiving all the therapies that he needed. And obviously you have to take care of the overall health of your entire family. But when you have a child with special needs, with a disability, it does take up a lot of your time. So over the years, I guess I became a little bit of a subject matter expert on my son because I had to. And, you know, and through those experiences, I've been able to help other families because I've kind of been there, done that.
Wow. You know what? I know Giles, and he's such a beautiful young man now, you know, so it's so awesome to see how he has just grown and just doing some great things now. But I wanted to find out, what was your greatest struggle regarding how the process, you know, what taking care of your son Giles was like when he was diagnosed? I mean, what did that really mean to you and your family at that time?
Well, he was diagnosed at 4 years old, and as you just mentioned, he's a young man now. He's in high school. He's a freshman in high school. The diagnosis was devastating. We used to call it the A word because nobody really wanted to say autism because they didn't know we didn't know as much as we know now. But with any disability, it's a step back. You know, you're like, not my baby, not my son. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You know, but what do? You have to accept it. It's not going to go away right away. So, you know, I just jumped in, you know, and just educated myself, read everything, knew as much or more than the doctors did that were treating him. And like I said, subject matter experts, you've got to know it all. You can't depend on someone else to know it. You've got to educate yourself. But as far as the biggest challenge, I think it probably was with school, because at the time, you know, with these kids, at least with my son, he's very auditorily defensive. He couldn't be in a room with, you know, 10 other kids, let alone 26 other kids. And, you know, that's a typical elementary school class. It was just politely fighting, politely advocating, strongly to get the right place for him so that he could access the curriculum and he could learn. It just, we had to get everything in the right place at the right time so that he could be educated. And now, I mean, the proof's in the pudding, you know, he's just doing great. And it took many years, a lot of very patient educators, and got to give them all the credit. You know, the majority of them are just awesome. You're going to have a bad egg every now and then, but the educators have been instrumental in my son's life and have just made an incredible difference.
Wow. You know what? I love what you said, you know, that you had to become the subject matter expert, that you had to be the advocate for your son, because if we're not, then who will? And we can't depend on everyone to try to fight this for us as hard as we would, and making sure that our kids are getting what they need in order for them to thrive and to excel, you know, in their lives. And so I just love that you said that, and what an empowering and encouraging thing that you are offering to other parents. Hey, be that advocate. Learn as much as you can, because it's so important, you know, for you and your child, you know, to know what you're dealing with and know the different avenues to take
when you're exactly right.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right, Nashawn. And to tag on to that, I think it's so important for whatever the disability is, whatever the special needs is, whether it's a child or an adult, you know, if you're the person that's managing this situation, and this is one thing that took me a long time to figure out, it's okay to get some help, because I looked at it with my son like a big pie, and there are different sections of the pie, right? So a neurologist has one slice, pediatrician has one slice, you know, just all these different specialists, and they all had a piece of it, and the only person managing that pie was me, and I'm not a doctor. So especially when you have someone that's nonverbal, like my child couldn't talk, he couldn't tell me, the doctor said, how did that medication make him feel? Well, how the heck am I supposed to know? I'm not taking it. He can't tell me. So I end up getting some professional help, someone to help navigate me, because all these doctors are not talking to each other, right? So they're all talking to me independently. So I did get some help, and I think that's what people need to know. If you can't manage it, get some help. Get someone
that get some help.
You know, and don't feel like you have to do it all yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm just reminded myself when our son was diagnosed with Crohn's, and it just kind of took us, you know, kind of took our breath away because we didn't know where that even came from. And so just learning how to navigate through the system and getting the help and being our own advocate for our son and learning as much as we could, it really made a difference. And we fought hard. It was very difficult, but that's what I really thank you for sharing that, because it's so important for us to do what we can. And we'll begin to see some improvement. We'll begin to see the things come into place that we need. You know what? What are some of the first steps that parents need to do to navigate through all the red tape that you and I both have gone through, and perhaps many other parents, to get the right type of resources available that are available out there to assist them in caring for their child? What's some of the first steps?
Well, it depends obviously on the age, the diagnosis and the age of the child, but I encourage families from the very get-go. If someone calls me today and says, Donna, I need your help to navigate, you know, what's going on in the school system, I don't know if my son or child's right in the right setting, I don't know if this is the right teacher, I don't know if he's really getting an education or if they're just putting down the numbers to pass him through, because I've actually heard some people say in IEP meetings, this child is too clinical to be educated. And I hate it when I hear that, because I always go back to Helen Keller. Really? They educated her. They can educate this child. You know? No one is too clinical to not be able to learn something. So don't let anyone throw that discouragement to you. Don't accept it. You know, politely come right back and say, no, maybe you just don't know how to teach this child, but there's a way, and we got to figure out how. But I would say in the very beginning, do a records request. It's your legal right to have a complete copy of your child's educational school file. If you've never requested a copy, then you need to request a copy. Give them ample time, but put it in writing, preferably send an email to the teacher, copy the principal, and say, please consider this my parent request to receive a complete copy of my child's educational school file. Start there so that you know everything that the school knows. Record keeping, huge. You know, if you got a special needs child, you need a 5-ring binder, and everything that comes home from that school and any pertinent email that you happen to write to the school or receive from the school, print it off, keep it, be organized. You know, when you go to that IEP meeting, take that binder with you. Another thing is document everything. My motto is if you didn't document it, if it's not written down, it didn't happen. You can go to a meeting and have them say, you know, you can say, well, Mrs. So-and-so said to me that my child's too clinical to be educated. Well, no, I didn't. Ms. Jones, I never said that. Okay, if it's in an email, then you go, yep, you did, and here's a copy of the email that you put it in. If it's not documented, it didn't happen. And lastly, you know, just be you can be assertive in a very professional way. Keep your emotions out of it. Go home and cry in the closet if you need to. Don't cry in meetings. Don't yell in meetings. These are professional people. They should be treated as professionals, and that way you'll be received as a professional yourself.
Wow, great points. Great stuff. I just love it. And I know that it's helping a lot of parents, whether they have a child with autism or some other type of illness, a disability that has affected them. All of that is so important to utilize those steps in order to get the information and have people to hear you as well as to see you and your needs. So I thank you for that. Thank you. You are considered a Shiro. I don't know if you know that or not, but you are. You are a Shiro to many families because you have championed this cause all the way to North Carolina State Legislature and even met at Capitol Hill to discuss issues regarding autism in particularly. So how has this effort helped change things for you and others that are facing similar concerns on what else can be done to help families and schools.
Wow. Well, I think one of the most exciting things that I participated in was an autism summit that we attended a year ago. And basically it was in Washington, D.C. through awesome organization called Autism Speaks, which I think most people have heard of. But basically, it was a great discussion on the aging out process, because we don't know where these kids are going to be when they age out of the services that are available to them now. So right now, my son can stay in school, 20, 21 years old, you know, through high school, because it's probably going to take him that long due to his disability to be able to be educated as much as he possibly can. But after that, okay, what is he going to do? He's going to pull a government check for SSI, you know, for a few hundred bucks a month? No, I don't want him to be living off of Social Security. I want him to be a taxpayer. So we have to set these kids up for success, or they're going to be set up for failure. It's our job. Mm-hmm. It's my job as a parent. But, you know, and so that whole summit was about the aging out process. The government right now does not have a plan. There's no plan in place other than sending my kid to a group home. You know, that's the plan, you know. And so there has to be a better way. Let's get these kids working. Find out what motivates them. For my child, it is reptiles, okay? He can work at the zoo. You know, with some kids that have a little OCD, they love washing vehicles. Fine. Give these companies that run car wash places a great big tax break for hiring our kids. They're probably going to be the first ones there and the last ones to leave every day. So that's the way we're trying to get them to think, is let's figure out how to have these children now become adults and become taxpayers instead of living off the government.
I love it. I love it. For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Uniquely Designed Talk, the Total Empowered Woman Radio, with my guest, Donna Anders, a parent advocate and consultant for parents with children who have special needs. Donna has been talking about her personal experience of being a caregiver for her son who has autism, and how you can continue to challenge this cause for yourself and for your child. And she does that for herself and her child through the work that she is doing right now. So I just want to welcome you who are just joining in to the show. Donna, let's switch gears here, and let's talk about the importance of self-care. How important is it in taking care of yourself in order to be the best caregiver for your child and to feel guilt-free doing it?
Wow. You know, as caregivers, whether it's a child you're taking care of or an adult, you know, we have a tendency, especially as mothers, you know, to put ourselves back, you know, and put everyone else first. I think that what I have found challenging, but I not often remind myself to do, you know, exercise, eat right, you know, and most important is look at the overall health of your entire family. Just because you have one member that requires a heck of a lot more of your time, you know, like my son, you know, for me, I still have to make sure that I'm looking at the entire family. And for example, don't make decisions based on that one person with a disability. You have to, and I'll give you an example of that. I lived in Florida. We put our son into a special needs school for the treats children with a disability, and it was almost $40,000 a year. That was a financial burden. We did it for 1 year, and then we made the decision not to do it anymore. He made such progress. It was heart-wrenching to pull him out of that school. But it wasn't – if we kept him there, we could have lost our home, you know, and And so we were like, yes, he's making progress, but we have to look at the big picture. Sometimes you have to make those decisions, and it's not easy.
Right, right, absolutely. So it's one thing I love that you said, that it's important to think about, you know, yes, we do have to make sure that we are taking care of our child and giving them everything they need, but it is important to take care of ourselves, like you said, eat right, exercise, and even to maintain your relationships, you know, especially with your spouse, you know how to still stay connected and with the other child that doesn't have any disability. Sometimes the attention can be all on one person, and the rest of the family can feel it, like you were saying. So it is important to make sure that you are spending that time nurturing the other relationship that matters so much to you as well, as you know, with your husband and your other children. But how in particular, I just want you to address, how do you keep things going with just you and your spouse? You know, how do you keep that intact?
You mean like mentally, emotionally, or
all of that? Just keeping the relationship strong. You're still able to date one another. You're still able to just making time for each other without having the guilt.
I thought you said with yourself. You said with your spouse. Yeah.
Well, earlier we were talking about with yourself, but now I'm talking about with your spouse. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I myself, I'm very blessed. I mean, you know my husband. He's like, you know, I don't deserve you. Nobody does. I'm just blessed to have him.
Yes,
that's the way I look at it.
I know him.
He's just that good. You know, he's just an awesome father, an awesome family man, a Christian, incredible all-around man. So, yeah, you have to make time for yourself. You know, we don't frequently go out. I know everyone preaches date night and all that stuff. I think it's wonderful, and I wish we did it more. Mm-hmm. But even if we don't go out, if we're too exhausted, at least we're going to turn on and watch a movie, you know, on Friday night at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to sit on the couch and hold your hand. If you can go out, go out. But if you can't, you still have to make that time, that friendship time. Intimacy is so important. You have to make time for that, and sometimes it's exhausting. But then again, you know, it's important that you maintain that relationship and that you work on it. I mean, you're together for a reason. See it as in the big picture, and then make time for each other. I think that's imperative. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you said that it may not be easy all the time to be able to go and have a date night and all of that, but making some type of effort, you know, towards keeping that connection, that intimacy, that friendship, all the things that's going to help, you know, nurture you as a person, but each other. And so that's really key. And whatever it takes, like you said, if it's just sitting at home looking at a good movie, cuddled up, talking face-to-face, candlelight dinner at home, something that's going to continue to keep you guys strong and knitted together, you know, in life and with what's going on and all of that. And so I love it. Thank you for sharing that, because I think sometimes – you know, it's easy for people to forget that portion, you know, because we can become so all-consuming in what else we're facing, you know, with our children. And so sometimes we will dismiss or neglect that other person or persons, including your children, your other children. So thank you for sharing that, because that was very, very helpful. Donna, I wanted to just ask you, is there any final word that you would like to leave with our audience that can empower them as a person and as a caregiver for their child? What can you say to our audience that can really empower them just as who they are as a caregiver for themselves as well as for their child?
Wow. Well, I think I can tell you from my own experience, I rely on my faith, and it's very strong. And reading scripture and praying, especially when you get it within, which at least a couple of times a week it seems like I do. You know, you clean up body fluids, you poop, and it's, you know, adult poop does not smell good. I always remind myself, you know, it's exhausting, and I don't have someone to come in here and do it for me. I have to do it. You know, and bathing a 15-year-old is not something that, you know, is always pleasant. But I always go back to one scripture, Nishan, and I say it to myself in my weakest moment. Christ is present when the weak are served. And that's something that I always whisper to myself. Christ is present when the weak are served. You're doing this for a reason. It might not feel good, smell good, and you're exhausted, but he's with you, and you're serving someone that can't help their situation that they're in. And I can help. That's what works for me.
Wow. Well, you know what? And I totally agree. You know, if you have a foundation of faith and you're trusting God and you look to him to help you, you know, to make it through those rough times, because it can get rough. It can get hard. It can be exhausting. It can be tiresome. And it's like, oh, can I continue to do this? You know, but we do have an anchor and someone else that we can rely on, knowing that we don't have to do it alone. You know, you don't have to do it alone. And so when we are weak, then he is strong. And so I just thank you for sharing that, because we need to be able to access every part of the resources that are available to us, including our faith. And so, I would say essentially our faith, you know, along with what the doctors can do and teachers and all of that. So you couple all that together, you know, then you really are setting not only your child up for success, but yourself up for success, you know, and being able to give all that you can. Because, again, we're only one person, right? And sometimes, you know, we need more than just us. So
absolutely.
So
I would like to say, mm-hmm. yes, and Ms. John, you're more than welcome to share my Gmail address. And, you know, I don't have any fancy email to send out there, but it is DonnaAnders44@gmail, so two N's and two A's. If anyone has any questions and they want to just shoot me an email, I'll be happy to respond to that. I work out of my home, so I do check it often, if that's helpful to anyone.
Absolutely. And I was just about to ask you, can you give us your email address and how people can connect with you? Because I'm sure that they will want to know more. And I know that you do work with other parents who have children who may not have autism, but they may have other issues that are occurring. Can you tell us what other kind of parents that you've helped that had children with something different than autism?
Yes, yeah, oh, wow, a lot. Cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, and mainly it's, but the majority of the kids are autistic, but there's a couple mm-hmm. of nest drowning children that I've helped these families. And basically it all comes back to the same thing, understanding the law, understanding IDEA, state, federal law, and been able to go into meetings. And I attend IEP meetings over speakerphone in many different states, and that's legal. You know, all you got to do is give the IEP team heads up that you're going to do this and that the person's going to be on conference call, and just asking the right questions. And if the schools don't understand federal law, then been able to say, okay, this is what you're required to do and this is what we need to do for this child. So there's many different areas of disabilities, but it all comes back, especially in the schools, with just trying to get that right setting for the child so that they can access the curriculum.
Awesome. Well, you know what, Donna, our time is just about up. I want to thank you so much for being our guest on this show today. I really enjoyed you. You gave tons of great information, great resources, and just sharing your story and your life with us today. So I just want to let you know that I appreciate that so much. And can you tell the people one more time how they can reach you?
Sure. I think the easiest way is through my Gmail account, and I'll say it first and I'll spell it. It's DonnaAnders44@gmail. So it's DonnaAnders44@gmail. And I'll be happy to, you know, to read any questions and respond in a timely manner.
All righty. Well, thank you, my friend, for coming on the show and for just sharing with the audience today on what they can do to be an expert in their own lives as an advocate for their child. So I really appreciate you for coming on the show, Donna.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know what? I just want to thank Donna for coming on the show. And listen, if you have any questions, as she said, she would be more than happy to answer any question that you have. So just email her at DonnaAnders44@gmail.com. That's DonnaAnders44@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you know, please make a comment on the Facebook page at Nashawn Turner-Uniquely Designed Coaching regarding today's show. Or, of course, you can always email me at nturner@uniquelydesignedcoaching.com. Lastly, don't forget, if you really enjoy Uniquely Designed Talk, just please click on the blue follow button on Blog Talk Radio and invite others to tune in every week. And remember, Uniquely Designed Coaching, or Uniquely Designed Talk, sorry, that's my business, coaching, but Uniquely Designed Talk is the show, is all about empowering you to uniquely design your life. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to Uniquely Designed Talk. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And remember, own who you are every day to become everything that you were meant to do and be, as we empower you to uniquely design your life.